Again, we see the life of Christ lived in his church through all this narration of the book of Acts, and we'll go right through the whole book. It's meant to give us a sense of who we are. See, we are the body of Christ. We are the presence of Christ in this world. And darkness is going to oppose us and try to stop us. But we have here, as in this story we have today, how they're just saying, no, we can't. You know, we can't stop praying over people and healing them in the name of Jesus. We can't stop telling people who he is. And as in the last line of what we had today, now they want to kill him. Now, of course, you see, as I said before, you place all this past reality into the world of Islam as you're getting to know it. Huh? And you see, it's a violent culture. Kill them. Now, in the gospel, we have this same presentation of reality. These are the last words of chapter 3. It's St. John's reflection on all that we've been hearing in chapter 3. Now let's stop a minute and everybody start try to think. Well, what have we heard in chapter 3? Do you remember where it started? What was the conversation about? Who was our Lord talking to? What was it all about? Well, you can answer a lot of those questions by just opening up the Bible and looking at chapter 3. Now we have the last part, where the one who comes from above is above all. Trying to give us this sense of who Jesus Christ really is. He comes from above. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. Now, just think of some of our Lord's parables. Does he speak of earthly things? Surely. He speaks of the things in this world. A certain man had two debtors, and one owed him and the other owed him. You know, or don't judge and you won't be judged. So many of these things. A man called out, make my brother give me my share of the inheritance. And our Lord says, who appointed me your judge? He goes on to tell a parable about this world. A man was rich, and he had a great big harvest, and he said, what shall I do? I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to make bigger barns. I'm going to get richer and richer. And our Lord ends that parable by saying, and God said to him, you fool, tonight they will ask your life of you. Those are these things in this world, aren't they? But they're not this kind of a thing. This kind of a thing, you see, is what's earthly about our existence? Preoccupation about money, power, pleasure. Eaten up with the need for things. That's earthly. So it's not wrong that we be living on this earth, that go out to work and make a living and support one's family and give them food and have birthday parties. And that's not earthly. That's Christian. But what is earthy is ego, power, money, pleasure, revenge, and forgetfulness of God. So the one who comes from above is above all. You see, into this world of such confusion and such darkness and such mutual hatred, I mean, into this comes someone to set us free. First he talks about it. Then he brings it all about by dying on the cross in an act of love and wiping our sins away. Now we have a chance. Now we can live a different life. Now we can live a divine life. Now the one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard with the Father. He comes and tells us about the Father. He knows the Father. From all eternity, he knows the Father. But no one accepts his testimony. It's too challenging. To accept that means turning my back on sin. And so, and the saddest of all would be the Christians who compromise. Be one or the other. You see. The one whom God sends speaks the words of God. God's words. Almighty God speaking to us. He does not ration. He does not give the gift of the Spirit in measure. Parse the whole Spirit of God out on us. Isn't that what we're getting ready for? Pentecost. Pouring out the Spirit to give us new life. The Father loves the Son. Wouldn't it be wonderful to catch a glimpse of that? Well, the Lord told us how. He said, the world must know that I love the Father, and that as he has given me command, that I do. Rise, let us go from here to my passion. When they see my love for the Father on the cross, their hearts will break. And many did. To see this love. To gaze on the heart of Christ and see there, it's an open heart. To see there the love between the Father and the Son. It can take your breath away. That's what he's telling us, huh? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Now belief is an act of yielding. The Holy Spirit is witnessing to us. The reality is there. Now it's up to us to yield to it. But it takes an act of the will. Remember, we were just talking about that yesterday. You know, faith is accepting the beauty of the light by an act of love. The theologians will tell us that first act of faith that a person makes by which they are justified always is with love. Now, you can sin and lose love and still have faith, but that first act of love, faith has to be moved by love. We're reaching out for something beyond us, and it's so lovable and beautiful. It's the very light of God, and it gives us access to God, and we will it, and that means our mind yields to it. That's faith. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life already. You have divine life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. The wrath of God remains upon him. So you see, belief is contrasted with disobedience, because obedience is the heart of faith. St. Thomas, in a very striking passage, says, the greatest of all the virtues is obedience. Of the not faith, hope, and charity, you know. But supernatural obedience, we yield to God. How many times? Just read the first letter of John. Obedience. Yielding, doing the will of God. And the basic act of obedience is to believe. I believe you. St. Peter says there in chapter 6, we have come to believe and thus to know. Access to living knowledge of the beauty and the wonder of God is faith. Now, how do we get our faith to get real? I mean, if I said, are you a Christian? Of course I'm a Christian. Do you believe? Of course I believe. How come then you're not a saint? I mean, if God came and died for you, and you know it, how come you don't melt? Well, it's because faith occupies about, well, I'm not going to say I don't know, but a certain small percentage of us. And the rest is someplace else. That's why. So why don't we just let this word of God today, this we end chapter 3, which, as you know, is a discourse on what? Baptism, right? How the whole thing starts. And guess what's going to happen next, tomorrow? We're going to move on to discuss another sacrament. The Eucharist, right? What page is that? What chapter is that?
6.